You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Jay Horowitz with the latest edition of Amazing Mental on my podcast. I'd like to welcome my old friend, Mr. Omar Minaya, who's been a part of the Mets organization way back since 1997. And in 2002, Omar made history when he became the first Hispanic general manager in baseball history. And what better way to honor National Hispanic Heritage Month than to speak to Omar. So Omar, welcome. And tell me back then, Omar, what was your first thoughts when you became the first Hispanic general manager in MLB history?
Well, Jay, thank you very much for having me. And you're right. You're my good friend. You are my good friend. We've been in baseball together for many years, and we've been with the Mets for many years. And it is an honor for me to be here on this special occasion, Hispanic Heritage Month, which is a great recognition to a lot of the of America, but also the Hispanic community. To answer your question, Jay, my first, you know, feelings was when Commissioner Selig called me and asked me if I can take this task on of being the Montreal Expos general manager. You know, a part of me didn't think much about being the first Hispanic. You know, I was just thinking about the opportunity that I had available to me. And then the challenge that was in front of me. But at some point in time, it did sink in. People reminded me, people wrote about it. And then I really did, you know, say to myself, wow, you know, it's pretty big. It's pretty big to a lot of people. And, you know, the first person that I started thinking about, but it's when I think of Hispanics in baseball was Roberto Clemente. You know, I thought of Clemente, I thought of, his journey, what he did, what he sacrificed, how he represented us. And not only Roberto Clemente, but I also thought of Jackie Robinson because, you know, Jackie being the first, you know, that before there was Roberto, there was Jackie. And being a Hispanic, being an immigrant, being a New Yorker, all these things together kind of came together and told myself, you know what? Wow, God has blessed me to put me in a position now. Don't mess it up. Don't screw it up because others came before me and I'm praying and hoping that others, if I do a good job, others can go after me.
Well, you've had a variety of different roles with the Mets, assistant general manager, special assistant, of course, general manager from 2004, 2010. And now in your role is an ambassador with the ball club. You're reaching out to local communities, trying to get some Mets involved with different projects. Why don't you tell the people out there exactly what you're doing now in the last year or so?
Yeah, my title's been an ambassador with the Mets. To me, and I think that, you know, I always felt that an ambassador is one person that represents the organization, that represents the country. So to me, what I'm trying to do is, of course, as you know, we have new ownership that has come in. And, you know, we as the Mets, I think that we have so much potential. We have so much potential to reach, you know, we have almost a responsibility to be diverse. We're in Queens. We represent the borough of Queens, probably the most diverse borough of the world. You know, Jay, we were together there. We saw how fun and how much excitement we were able to bring in during the years of 2005, 6, 7, 8. We saw the 3.5 million fans, 3.8 and the 4 million fans that participated in what I call the Mets family, the Mets journey. You know, we lost some of that. We lost some of that, part of it, because you have to win. But I think what I'm trying to do in my role is to touch base, to try to connect with that fan base, connect with that diverse fan base that is out there. And I felt very proud when I was general manager, that when, you know, we had Yankee fans coming to our game, because being a Met fan was being part of Shea Stadium and Citi Field was something that connected the community together. And for me, I take my role as an ambassador very seriously. I enjoy it. To me, is to be able to talk not only to the tree holders, but to be able to connect with the bodega people, to be able to connect with the barbershop, to be able to connect with that community, to be able to connect with that diverse community, and me kind of being leading the charge in that connection. I think we're doing great. I think we have it's a great potential that's here that's going to be built. I think we have a team that's, you know, it's been up and down. We're just coming off a great win against the Yankees. But there's a lot of things that are being put in place for potential growth, for potential community involvement. And as an ambassador, I feel like I want to take a leadership in that role to bring that connection back. So I do a little bit of everything.
Speaking a little bit of everything, you have your own podcast now. You do some work on SNY. You know, so you branched off into the different kind of thing for you. How do you like those, you know, new roles for you, Omar?
I like them. It's new media. Palante is a podcast that I'm doing. With a group. We have Marisol Castro, who's a Hispanic, the first Hispanic, I believe, game announcer in the New York, or the first Hispanic game announcer in baseball for that great. So I mean, she's another figure that's historic, and I like that. I like doing the work for SNY. Look, at the end of the day, Jay, you know what? I am a talent evaluator. I love talent evaluation. I love to scout. That's what I love to do. But sometimes, you know, time things comes in life that you want to try different things. And this is, I'm having fun in baseball evaluating from a TV standpoint. But I'm also having fun watching the Mets evolve. I'm having fun watching our manager, Luis Rojas, as a manager, who I think is doing an excellent job as a second year manager. So I do like what I'm doing, Jay. And I'm very, you know, very proud to be a Met.
Let's go back to the beginning of your career. You born in the Dominican Republic, came to Queens, went to Newtown High School. You used to tell me you used to sneak into games at Shea Stadium. Did you ever get caught, Omar?
Yes, of course we did. But we were friends with the cops. It was supposed to, you know, can you catch me or not? And, you know, Jay, we can go back to great names with guys like Bob Mant, who were there, and Jimmy Plummer, who guys that, the legends. If you're in the Met family, these are legends. So we would get caught. And if you grew up in my generation, you know, we would. But the cops were friends, and they was a fun. They'll chase you. They'll throw. But, you know, a lot of these cops, even when I was general manager, they'll remember me. They say, hey, I remember I caught you. And to me, it was an honor. It was an honor to love. And I'm a, you know, Jay, I'm a big, for me, being the Met family, it's not only the baseball players, the people that work there. It was fun, you know, in those days. And we had bad teams, but we were there. We were supporting. We were there in good times and in bad times.
So went on to start Newtown High School baseball player. We took number 21, I guess, after Clemente. Numbers retired. How big a show is that for you, Omar, to have your number, high school number, retired?
Oh, very big, very big. You know, and when you're a kid, you don't think about that. But then here I am, you know, I believe it was in 2006 or something. I'm the general manager of the New York Mets. I never even thought about that. I really wanted to be Roberto Clemente and play in the major leagues. That's what it was. But to me, you know, as time goes by, Jay, you know, it's more about what you mean to others, you know. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the truth is my heroes were players. Because of, you know, being blessed to be the general manager, you know, now you become heroes to people, not only to be players, but to be executives, to be able to work in the front office. And, you know, so now it changes, and it was fun to go back to the high school and to go to Newtown High School. And you know how I feel, Jay, and I think all of us that are in the Met family, Queens is special to us. Newtown High School is in Elmhurst. All these things are special to us. And, you know, we love the neighborhood. We still go back to the neighborhood. And to be able to go back and have your number retire and have your high school coach, Warren Albert, be a part of that, and have your teammates be a part of that. And here you are doing that, and you're representing the National League team from the Mets to be doing that. It meant a lot, but it also means a lot to me that I want kids to not only to be baseball players, to be able to be executives, and to be able to be other, to do other things.
Who was your favorite Met player growing up?
Oh, God, it had to be the franchise, man. Come on. He's the franchise. I love Tom. And, you know, Tom was, and then to be able to be a friend of Tom. I mean, Jay, I still remember when Tom came up to me and recognized me. Like, oh my God, Tom Seaver knows me? Like, hey, Omar, like, are you kidding? You know, yeah. Now don't get me wrong. There was a little period there when Willie played. Remember, Willie played for us. He got traded, I believe, in 73. So, I mean, come on. Willie was Willie, but he was a giant, you know. When you think of the Mets, it's the franchise. He was a special player, a special person, a special leader, and a special friend. To me, he was special to me. And to me, Tom was Tom. He was the guy that you watched every game, and almost a little bit like those games like the Grom, get him some runs and it's over.
Omar, you know, in your time as a GM, you really left a lot of legacy. You know, number one, with your hire, you know, you hire Willie Randolph. I know eventually Willie had to be let go. I guess it happens to all of us. It's the first African-American manager in New York history. Was part of your background, did you kind of look to do something like that? Or I know Willie was a local guy, Yankee guy, but that had to be pretty good to have that on your resume, that you were the GM who hired the first African-American manager in baseball history, in New York history.
Well, it just so happened like that. I didn't think about that at the time, Jay. You know, at the time, the guys that I was thinking about was, I also thought about hiring Terry Collins, remember? And then I brought Tyler Carrington to the organization as the field coordinator, and he ended up being the manager. At the time, I didn't think of the actual that we were hiring the first African-American in Major League in baseball, in New York baseball. Think about that, Jay. New York baseball might have been over 100 years old, and here we are. I didn't think about that. What I thought about when we hired Willie is I was hiring a guy from Brooklyn. And I thought that being, you know, I'm a big New York guy. And I thought that at the time, you know, he was, let's go to a resume. First of all, he was a captain of a Yankee team. He understood New York. He was, you know, yes, he was the Yankees. And, you know, I had a little bit of issues hiring a Yankee at the time. But that being said, it's Willie. I knew him. He did play for the Mets. So there was some Mets connection. But in the end, I thought that we were hiring a guy that had been around Winnie for many years as a player and as a coach. Okay. I knew that he had never managed. I had some concerns about that. But I knew the person. I liked the person. And I still like the person. Me and Willie are very good friends. But we were hiring a guy from Brooklyn. And now I felt like, you know, this guy, and Jay, you know, as a PR guy, when you come into New York, whether you're a general manager, whether you are, you can be manager, owner, president, whatever, you have to have some understanding of New York. You have to have some understanding of New York, okay? And I felt that Willie, because being in New York, had an understanding. I felt that Willie, we were going to connect. I felt that we were going to build a team, you know, as far as executives around and good coaches. And I think we did that. I think it was, we didn't win the World Series, but we won a lot of games. And winning a lot of games, we made it exciting for our fans. It was a winning period. So Willie, I think, did a good job. The fact that he was African-American, you know what? That was like the last thing I ever thought about. It wasn't, but it just so happened that was the case.
Omar, I remember in winter of 2005, we talked, and you said you felt like you were a college recruiter. You had to get one free agent to commit to come to the Mets, to turn the perception of the Mets around. And people didn't give us much chance of getting Pedro Martinez. Tell us how that came about, what that meant, you know, to give the organization some swag or some charisma that we were heading in the right direction.
Well, that was a group effort, you know, and you know, Jay, a lot of things in baseball, you know, you may be the leader, you may be the general manager, you may be, it's a group effort. And I believe in, I'm an aggressive recruiter, for whether it's going to sign players, you know, I might have been a general manager. I pride myself in being the best recruiter, acquiring the best talent and going after it. That's what I think. That being said, that means you have to get it. You got to communicate. You got to put a plan in place. You got to go after people. You got to tell players you want them, and you got to follow through with it. So we did that. And it just so happened as we came into that winter meeting, you know, that winter after 2000, you know, started in 2004, that I say, you know, well, and I'm a big believer that it's not only about winning in New York, Jay, you know, and I know that it's not only about winning, it's how you win. And can you connect with the fans when you win? Because we've seen teams that just don't connect, and you got to connect with this diverse metropolis. And to me, the number one, and I started looking around and I say to myself, you know, Pedro's out there. They just won the World Series. But I felt that a face like Pedro with charisma can kind of bring it. Now, it meant that I had to travel, that I had to go spend Thanksgiving with him. Whatever needed to be done, and for those that know me, when it comes to recruiting a player, to going after a player, to acquiring talent, I'm not going to get beat. And there's no way I was going to get beat. I knew that. And then once I knew that we put a plan in place and we had to have ownership believe in it, and we had to commit, explain the plan to ownership. And that was a group effort. That was, you know, without a doubt, you had Johnny Rico, you had Lenore Cologne. You know, we had the whole group of people involved to connect with ownership, tell them this. And then we went out and got Pedro. Once with the sell to Pedro was, Pedro, once we're going to, I promise you, we're going to bring other guys. Now we're committed. And boom, the next thing you know, here you have Beltran come. Eventually, we had Delgado come. You know, had Billy Wagner.
Let's talk about Beltran for a second. Met fans, unfortunately, they go back to Game 7 of the 2006 playoffs. We took the third strike. But for me, Beltran was probably the best overall free agent contract we've ever signed. And not because I'm a friend of Carlos's. I hope one day he gets another chance to manage in the major leagues. He's a good baseball guy, good guy. Does a lot of great charity work back in Puerto Rico with his foundation. So just in your mind, Martinez led directly to Beltran.
Yes, no doubt. Martinez led directly to Beltran. And you know, that was another recruitment. That was the one getting on a plane. You know, at the time what we did was, I would have to travel. I would get on a plane and go visit, not only visit the players, I'll go visit the cousins. I'll go visit the aunt. I'll go visit the priest. Whoever I needed to visit, I would go visit. I'll get it. And that's how we, but in the end with Beltran, so you got two guys here, one who just won the World Series and decided to leave Boston, who was an icon, to come visit us. And then you had another guy who had an unbelievable championship series in Houston, and they had pretty much almost equal or the same money as us, and had to convince him to come to New York. And Jay, you remember, Carlos was a really kind of a low-key guy. Right, a lot of people questioned whether he can handle the battle of New York. But I promised him that I was going to be there with him, that we were going to be on this ride together. And he came on board. But the thing about Carlos, everything you said, now first, not only was he a great player, but the thing that I'm most proud about Carlos is he's a better man. Carlos Beltran is like one of the best men I've been around.
What his foundation does for kids in Puerto Rico is amazing.
What he does for kids in Puerto Rico, but Carlos does for everybody.
Right.
You know, I love him. You know what I'm saying? I think in time he will be back in the game. And I hope that, time comes, we all could celebrate together, because Carlos Beltran is one of the best and the nicest persons that I've been around. And I'm very proud that we worked together. And, you know, like I said, I'm more proud of him, the man, and he was a great player. And I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. Should be a Hall of Fame player someday.
And then next year, Omar, you complete a trade for Delgado. And if he didn't hurt his hip, he probably would be in the Hall of Fame by now, maybe eventually. But so really three big pieces in 2 years, with plus Billy Wagner. So your plan is in motion. Unfortunately, you know, we in 06, we had a lot of games, we just got bit by a great curveball in the seventh inning.
Hey, listen, a curveball for a guy, Dwayne Wright, and a catcher, Molina, that I think are both going to be Hall of Famers someday. So that happened. It was Hall of Famers against Hall of Famers. But that being said, Jay, as much as we are proud, and I say we as a team of those signings, I'm as proud as even the smaller guys. I'm as proud of the Darren Olivers and the Andy Chavez's of the world, and the young David Wright and the young Jose Reyes. And that's, you know, as you know, as the talent evaluator, I'm very proud of the group of guys we put together as a group, and we were able to win and continue to do that. So to me, it's a team effort. I believe it's a team effort. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of communication. And I pride myself in communicating from top to bottom, communicating the players to also communicating whoever is the clubhouse kid and the manager, the general manager, the president, the owners, is always being communicating, bringing people together.
You know, one journey, you caused me a lot of agit, Omar. Right before speak training, I had to rip up my whole press guy when we got Johan Santana, still the only guy to pitch a no-hitter in Mets history. You talk about how the Santana trade came about.
Well, Santana trade came about is like, it was we were committed to putting the best product on the field. I believe it was a year before we got into Citi Field. So we were always, and I'm a big believer in putting a 2 or 3 or 4 year plan. At the time, I think it was, you know, we have Pedro had some injuries. We had just 2007. Remember, we had a real, you know, we finished not the year strong. We should have been in the playoff, and our pitching was down. And the bottom line is, you know, we had an opportunity to go get a guy that was a two-time Cy Young winner or maybe or something like that. And, you know, listen, you anytime a kind of guy like that is in front of me, it's hard for me to pass up. And as far as getting talent, we were able to trade some talent. We traded Carlos Gomez, who was a good player at the time. But I always felt comfortable that we were always going to replace talent with, you know, in the minor leagues, because I always felt comfortable surrounded by very good scouts. In international, I think we were leaders in international scouting, bringing in the top flight players from international over the years, whether Jose Reyes, Nelson Cruz, or others. But what the bottom line was, to get a chance to have a potential Cy Young or an ex-Cy Young guy late in the year, it was a combination. Now, the key to that trade, Jay, was, and the reason was, is I was not going to sign him. I was not going to trade for him unless I had a deal done. If I didn't have a deal done on a contract, I have to have a deal done. Because if I don't have a deal done and I make a trade for him in his walk year, then I think the agent has me in an advantage. I'd rather, let's get a deal done, and then we can make the trade. And that's why I couldn't tell you. I said, Jay, it may happen, may not happen. But we put a timeline. And for me, the only way I'm going to get a good deal done, and I use a good deal for both sides, is I'm trading for you contingent upon you agreeing to this long-term contract. And it got to the wire, but we got it done.
Yeah, one transaction can't be overlooked. The day it appeared in the New York papers is a transaction. New York Mets signed minor league free agent R.A. Dickey. who was a blurb in the papers, and Mr. Dickey went on to be a New York icon, wrote a book, was on 60 Love Minutes, it. Won the Cy Young, won 20 games. That was a pretty good sign, you know.
Hey, you know what? As I tell you, I get more excited about the other signings than the major free agent. The R.A. Dickey story, one, Jay, is one that me and R.A. did go way back to Texas, drafted R.A. number one. In Texas, you know, a long story. The bottom line, there was an issue with the ligament, and he had a long career. I always felt attached to him. The thing people need to remember, R.A. Dickey, and this is what the beauty is about baseball, you just don't know. R.A. Dickey was our first cut in 2010. R.A. Dickey was our 10th, 11th pitcher, the 10-man staff in Buffalo in 2010. R.A. Dickey was horrible. For some reason, I felt he was going to be, let's tell you, I thought he was going to be a good player coach. The bottom line is, R.A. Dickey comes back up in May, never goes back down, probably makes 5 times or 10 times as more money from 2010 to the end of his career. He wins the Cy Young. It wasn't that we were smart. It was just, as an organization, we had a kind heart.
Yeah. Speaking of a kind heart, you know, thank you for spending time with us. I just got to say this as a friend for over 20 years. All the stuff you accomplish in baseball, when you hear Omar Minaya's name mentioned, people say he's a mensch, he's a good person. Always had time for the people in the office. You walk by the office, say hello to everybody, never blew by anybody. That's why the people in the office loved Omar, because he always had a kind word for everybody, treat everybody the same, whether you were an executive or this or that. And that's a great legacy to have. It was something to be proud of. And again, I'm really proud to be my friend for all these years. And good luck with your new job. I know you do great. And I'll see you around the Mulberry Bush.
Well, Jay, coming from you, it means a lot, because me and you, you know, we're baseball lifers and we know we love the Mets. We've been around for many years. We love the Mets. We love New York. We love baseball. For me, you're a Hall of Famer, you know, so to me, you're a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? Well, I just, you know, being around you and those kind words from you, from a workmate. And to me, it's all about the people that work in the stadium, not only the players. It's about the stadium. And talk about security guard, the ushers. That's what makes the Mets family special, yeah. And that's what makes special.
No question.
Omar. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Omar, again, thank you for your time, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay, thank you.